So I can I just tell you before we start that I want to just thank everyone who's been watching these episodes from start to finish. And thank you for your comments and your messages and all the love that we've been getting. So I just wanted to say that before we get started. And the other thing I wanted to say is I am so excited for our guest today. I could not be happier. And I can't wait for everyone to meet her. So, without further ado, I'm Kia Baker. I'm the host of the Female Veterans Podcast. It's a platform for women veterans to share their true real life experiences while serving in the military, good or bad. It is drama, it's inspiration, it's all of the true facts from the females who experienced it straight from their mouth. So, if that's something you're into, you should listen to it. And you can find it now on the veteranschannel.com. And my beautiful co-host, you see here with me, is Gloria Goldberg.
Isolation for 90 days, so check him out. So probably you can listen in and help yourself with the situation today.
With all the lockdown and the isolation. Ooh, girl, I know I've had some anxiety with it and just wanting like cabin fever and all of those kinds of things. So yeah, I struggle with it myself.
I would say for mostly people because we are not used to this. So, but we need to go through, and that's all. Be calm and positive.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, how are you doing now?
I'm so happy today because we have an amazing guest, and I can't wait to bring her in and talk to her because she's so fun.
She is absolutely amazing. So, let me tell everybody, as you know, I am a success coach at the London Real Academy. But first, I was a student. And attending the London Real Academy, as I am sure that you know and feel as well, Gloria, completely changed my life. So there was someone other than Brian Rose who was absolutely instrumental in inspiring me to make all the moves I've made ever since, and has really been someone who has supported me and mentored me and taught me everything, absolutely everything, to help me on my success path. So, but not only was she an incredible coach, she is an amazing friend. She is one of the most beautiful souls I've ever met. She's hella fun. She's super talented, a writer, a podcast host. She is just one of the most incredible women that I've met. And she is the host of The Savvy Creative. So, she's a writer, you guys. She writes amazing things. And she's a real inspiration to me. So, without saying anything more, the lead instructor for the London Real Academy, who's guided so many people to success in their fields through podcasting and public speaking and creating digital businesses, Christina Castaneda.
Castañeda, let's bring her in.
Hello, beautiful people.
Yay. Finally, I have you on Hot Topics. Yay.
I'm happy to be here. I never get a chance. I never pass up a chance to ham up the mic. So.
I know it's your specialty. So, Christina, how is everything in LA with the lockdown? How long have you guys been on lockdown?
This is my fourth week, and it's almost been a month because I remember that things started around March 13th. That's when like the gym started closing and you started seeing more people, like the panic was starting to happen. And now, you know, it's definitely, LA is not a city that's quiet. It's just not. There's always, it's like not as loud as New York, but you know, there's always something happening. And I live on a very busy street and there's beaches and there's, you know, just so much life in the city. And now it's just so somber and quiet. It's very bizarre. And in LA, we have, you know, a lot of homeless that are on the street. I mean, it's just an epicenter for homelessness, probably the largest homeless population in the world. And even that, like, has just completely, all the closed businesses, you're just seeing more and more tents just line up along the streets and everything. I will say the streets are a lot cleaner. There is way less trash in the streets, which is nice. But it's very, it's definitely very, very chilling and haunting to have things so quiet. And I definitely miss a lot of the life in the streets. It's just, it's, and it's hard not to give into the panic, you know, standing in line at the grocery store for an hour just to get in, you know, wearing a homemade mask and things like that. Like it's very, very surreal sometimes. But I know that like I try to be one of the people that, you know, I'm still getting dressed. Like even in the grocery store, I was the only person that was fully dressed, had makeup on because we had just done the London calls on Tuesday. And I'm like, wow, like really everyone is literally in their sweats or hoodies and things like that. And I was like, okay, I'm still put together a little bit. And you know, just to make this a little bit fun is you got to learn to like flirt with your eyes in the grocery store because you got and you're just kind of like, hey, how you doing? We're definitely seeing that more. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to learn to talk with my eyes now and to, you know, because you definitely stand out when you actually get dressed and, you know, have some eye makeup on. So like my smile is my biggest trademark and it's the biggest thing that people like remember about me when they see me, which it's not a bad thing, but it's really weird not to be able to like smile at people or to, you know, even say hi to people. It's just so bizarre.
I feel that I haven't been out of my house, so I don't know how I'm going to smile at people with my eye. I'm just not smiling at anyone.
Yeah, it's a weird thing when you have to learn to actually like, you know, it's like when you're blindfolded and you have to use your other senses. It's like, okay, I have to communicate differently when we have the social distance and we have to do all these different things. We still have to like make some sort of human connection and contact. And it's just really, really strange. But
wow, I feel that. What do you think about that, Gloria?
I've been also, this is my fourth week being at home. I don't go anywhere because I'm like, not germaphobic, but I became one like everybody else, I guess. And it's hard. And I worry for my husband, that's the one who's doing the groceries and going out. I worry about him, and when he comes here, I make him to do like a whole ritual. Get your clothes up, go straight to the bathroom. No, don't kiss me until you wash everything. So it's a lot of things, and it's a lot of things. I can't imagine going out and see what Christina see in LA.
Well, we have to, it's so weird because I think like I have to walk around, I have to, you know, take my dogs out. And it's at some point you're going to have to look and see the difference. And the hardest thing I got to say is also like the silence is one thing, but when there's nothing but sirens going on through the night, you just know like that could be another case. That could be another person. That's like another coronavirus spreading. And it's so close to us. And I live really close to a fire station. So it's even worse. And it's really haunting now that they're more frequent and they're coming like sometimes not all night, but definitely more frequently through the night. And it's really hard because as much as I'm trying to stay calm, other people around me, they're telling me that they're waking up in the middle of the night. They're telling me that, you know, they're afraid for their kids. They're panicking. And it's, you know, I always feel like a leader or being in a leadership position, you know, you're trying not to use the two words stay calm, because of course that like does nothing, right? But you actually are trying to find ways to keep everybody together and to hold things together, because you don't want, you don't, if you fall apart, then other things are going to start falling apart. So that's probably the biggest challenge, is that when everybody's like, I can't sleep, and oh my God, what if this happened? What if that happens? Being able to detach enough and say, and detach from the news and detach from, you know, everybody else's panic and trauma and worries, and just say, okay, look, it's not perfect, but you know, we're doing this a day at a time. Are you healthy today? Are you having, you know, how are your kids? And just being able to be that kind of rest or peace for someone, it's, and for the people that are leaning on you right now, it's actually what's getting me through this. And knowing like, okay, we've got to help everybody else survive this otherwise before it is a major apocalypse. And I don't think, nothing is ever as bad as it seems. Well, at least not yet. And that's what I keep trying to remember. It's not as bad to the point where we're out of food, where there's no money, where there's no running water. So so that's where we are right now.
So, Christina, when you start going into this lockdown, what kind of emotions you've been feeling, like in the beginning, in the second week, now you're going into the fourth week? Do you see any differences in your emotions?
Well, the first week I definitely did feel like the waking up. How much TMI do you guys want on this podcast?
We want all the TMI.
I'm going to just be real. PMSing is worse. I don't know why. The symptoms, I won't get too graphic, but you know what I mean. Like if you've noticed like the headaches and the fatigue and the cramping is all worse, and even the mood swings are worse, I definitely feel the stress is adding to that. Definitely feel it's really hard to have the kids home, especially when you have grown kids and they're home from college and their personalities have changed a little bit, and add the stress on top of that. That's really hard. For me, I was like, all right, like I've been at home with kids. As moms, we disinfect. And if we run out of toilet paper, I mean, remember when we give birth and there's stitches and we're using the spray bottle? I mean, come on. We're gonna be fine without toilet paper. And honestly, like I said, if toilet paper is in hoarding and that panic is your first survival instinct, like, come on, you've got a long way to go. Yeah, exactly. And so the emotions to deal with that. Actually, you know what I will say? It's been hard not to get pulled into other people's emotions. It's been hard to, because other people's masks are coming off, you know, people who can't be alone with themselves, people who demand a lot of attention, they're trying to get a lot of that negative attention from you, and, or getting that narcissistic supply or whatever. And it's really hard not to buy into that. In fact, it's actually when social distancing is helping. But there are times when I think, oh, should I check on my family when I know my family's toxic? Should I do that? And then that guilt and that shame of like, oh, I don't know, life is short. Should I check up on that ex, or should I let that ex text me? You know, all those things are kind of going in your head. And I think it's even more important that when these things are going through your head, that you really hold tight to your boundaries and all the inner work that you've done beforehand, because this is when it's really tested. Because I thought, oh, I really want to contact these people, but I know that they're going to put me down. They're going to be toxic. They're going to add to the stress. And am I going to be able to hold strong enough to keep that at bay and not be pulled back in? Because I don't need more when we're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their panic. So I would say those would probably be, those are probably one of the biggest things that I was trying to deal with. And then, you know, of course, the kids are hearing things too. My kids are grown. So of course, they're going to, you know, my daughter still has an essential job. She's an essential retail worker. So she's still going to work. And, you know, every time she comes home, I'm like, we have a hot tea ready for you. Go change your clothes, go wash your face, go wash your hands. And trying to keep her as safe as possible. And yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like when these things happen, like our intuition, our sensors, or, you know, that kind of radar that we've built up for panic and danger and trauma, I feel like since we've survived a lot of that trauma, the sensors and your intuition kind of know when something's coming, at least for me. Like I kind of feel it, and I kind of know, like, you know, I'm really listening to my instincts a lot more too, to listen to that inner voice of like, hey, maybe I shouldn't go out today. Or, hey, maybe I don't need to run errands. I don't need to do this. What I need to do is sit down and write. That's what I told myself I would do during this this lockdown. I was like, I'm going to make the most out of it and really try to write some of my best work.
That's amazing. I was talking to Gloria earlier, and I was recounting a speech that Brian gave right after, everything happened and London got locked down. And he said something along the lines of, you know, what are you going to do with this time? Are you going to make the most of it? He said, because I'm going to make the most of this time. And I thought, I look at him now and I'm like, yeah, he's really making the most of this time. But you know what? So am I, because those words really stuck. So I've been doing more work and I've been doing more. Hi, Estelle, sweetie.
Hi, Estelle.
Hi, Estelle. Hi, beautiful.
I've been doing like more work, and I know Gloria is taking Speak to Inspire right now. So she's got her mind busy doing things, and you're writing. So one of the things that we've been saying to everyone when we come live is that to try to find something to keep yourself busy. Aside of what you said, like getting dressed, putting some makeup on, like trying to have your normal routine as much as possible. But then that space that you would be probably working, you can fill with other things that better yourself or release your creativity. So what are some of the things that you do, Christina?
Is it sad that quarantine, my life didn't change that much? Because I already worked from home. It's funny. I really wanted to go back into dating this year and things like that. And, you know, worldwide pandemic, that was put on hold, really. That kind of stuff.
I know, girl, me too.
Yeah. So I would say my life is still, appointments, calls, Zoom calls, checking on my students, everything that I would do. I do miss being able to, have lunch with my girlfriends and go to my favorite coffee shop in Bright and go work out. I miss all that. But what I'm doing the most out of it is that I'm doing different workouts. I look ridiculous trying to stretch every night and work out. And I hate doing like lunges and burpees. I'm a dancer. And I'm just like, all right, I have this little living room. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to stop dancing. Writing, I actually thought like I would do this great novel and like do all these finishes and edits. And I had like all these writing goals that I wanted to do. And when I sat down, it was just too much like pressure on myself to make this like great novel right, during quarantine. And then I just said, I'm just showing up for an hour a day. I'm going to write whatever the hell I want. And some days, like I haven't wrote a poem for 20 years and I wrote a poem. I hadn't wrote a, you know what? I love it when my students remember like the stuff that I like the most of the students. I love it. Yeah. Do cool shit. That is exactly what I tell you guys to do. And I hope you do cool shit in quarantine. I have burned up my kitchen trying to cook again and kept setting off the fire alarm. I actually installed lights in my house to make it like really nice because it was something I always wanted to do. And I've been on this 40 before 40 kick where I was like, I'm going to do all these fabulous things in this crazy bucket list and travel, blah, blah, blah. And of course, pandemic again. It's just ruining all my plans, it's just, come on. And so I just said, okay, what kind of bucket list things can I do from home? So decorating was one. I'm releasing a new series for women on my podcast. And I'm trying to, even just do the splits and do the handstand, and that's something you work up to every day. You build strength and you build flexibility. So I'm doing that. So there's a lot of footprints on my wall and a lot of, me trying to stretch myself at night. And those are the things that I'm doing. I try to also do some inner work as well, meditation, things like that. And I do try to join new Zoom calls of new groups, new Facebook groups who are offering them, just because I'm like, I might as well talk and meet to more people. And I didn't even realize I met some of my podcast fans in some of these groups. I'm like, you listen to my podcast. Wow. Do you know who I am? Okay. Wow. I feel like honored now. So that was really a wonderful experience too. I wouldn't have had that because I'm usually too busy to go on Zoom lives. And you know what, this, if anything, what you are too busy for and what you say you're too busy for, as far as connecting and doing the things that actually are meaningful, you're going to start to see those pop up now. I know I have. You know, I know I put down my phone and I'm more present with my kids. I know that, you know, I was like, oh, I hate engaging on Instagram. I'm engaging more on Instagram. You know, I sometimes put off doing lives because I don't want to set up the camera and put on makeup and everything. But now I'm like, you know what, this is going to be fun. I'm going to do it anyway. Mm. And like, I'm not too busy to do it now. There's no excuse not to do it now. And there really should have never been one in the first place once you go through it and you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. So that's what I would say. Everything that you've been putting off and you're too busy for, you're not busy anymore.
Christina, yeah. What time you go to bed? What time you wake up and what time you go to sleep?
Oh my God, it varies. I'm a late bird. Like, I stay up really late. I'm not one of those people that will wake up at 5 a.m. So it varies every night. But I would say in between 11 and 12 is when I go to sleep. And I wake up, I do not set an alarm unless it's a day I have a call, but I do not wake up with alarms at all. I absolutely refuse to wake up with alarms. I let my body naturally wake up around 8:30. So that's what I do, because before I just was horrible at sleeping well. I would get like such bad anxiety that I would have to pop pills to sleep and I could never get a full eight hour sleep. Now I'm like, my body wakes up when it wants. No meetings until after 10 a.m. And if you have to, and if you have to bother me because of, you know, being overseas and my London and UK and Europe people, when they need an early meeting, I'm like, do you know how I'm accommodating you? Like, do a meeting before 10 a.m. It's just, yeah, like it has to be a real emergency to meet with me before 6 p.m. London time. So because that's like my way of taking care of myself and like honoring sleep. So
and it's a good idea that you said you don't put your alarm, because this is the time to not put alarm, because you have the entire 24 hours to do everything in the morning, in the afternoon. You don't need to go to work the very next day. So use the time to do anything at any time.
Yep. And I've been doing it since my son went to college. So August is when I stopped using the alarms. I was like, wait, I don't have to take kids to school anymore. Why am I putting on the alarm? I don't have to schedule a meeting I don't want before 10 a.m. So I actually stopped it, and it's been amazing. Like, our bodies don't need alarms. Like, they don't. And I'm pretty disciplined enough to get what I need to get done in the day. So I don't need like timers and alarms and stuff to do that, because it just built that up. But yeah, it's so freeing. It's like, you know, at the end of the day when you take your bra off, it's just like, it's like, ah, huh, it's relaxing when you can just say, no alarm for me.
Yeah, I vibe with that. I don't sleep with alarms either. I absolutely just let my body do what it's gonna do.
Or the kids.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yeah, little one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when this locked up is up, where are you going? The first place that you're going to go?
Oh my God. I'm going to go. I am going to like dance my way somewhere. I'm going to like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hug everyone. I was never a huggy person. Like, you had to like really be close to me to give you a hug. Like, I didn't like people touching me for the longest time. Now I'm like, come here. Like, I want to give everybody a hug. But I would say, God, I mean, it would be, well, I don't know. I can get all the food I want now through DoorDash. But I would say definitely it would have to do something with dancing first, and see the girls. I've missed the girls so much, my dance fam. Oh my God, seeing them in person. It would probably be just to sit in my favorite places and, you know, watch the sun from, you know, the beach views and things like that. I would definitely do. The beaches are closed, by the way. You can't park there. They closed down the parking, so you can walk your way there, but there's no street parking. And there's homeless tents everywhere, you know, and it's not even safe to go. So I would say, like, God, I miss the beach and taking a surfboard out there and just like, oh my God, I'm going to soak in that salt water and come back so sunburned. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on a plane too, go to Costa Rica for a month, drive over the border to Mexico if I can. Like, I just want to just go to paradise for a little bit and, you know, dance and eat tacos and, you know, just Watch the sun go down over the ocean. Yeah, that would make me happy, honestly.
Wow.
What about you, Gloria?
Me?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to London.
Well, we'll all be there in September, right?
We will all be there in September partying big time.
We're going to celebrate graduation and the IKEA birthday.
That's right. We're going to party.
Yes, we're going to get into real trouble. They already don't like Americans. They're really not going to like Americans now. All our students, students, this is what graduation's like.
It's going to be so much fun. If you have any doubts, release them, because we have a blast. I mean, with the summit and all these amazing speakers. So, you know, I love a red carpet event. So I am so excited for that. And then graduation, and then my birthday's the next week. So I'm going to have some sort of party while I'm there. So it's going to be just an incredible time just to be in London. I love London. London's amazing.
Yeah. You know, Christina, you mentioned something very important that I did feel the same thing when I was kidnapped. You said that you was not a huggy person, and now you claim that you want that. And what you're feeling right now is very normal. Because when I was like 2 months into my kidnap situation, I don't have the opportunity that a lot of people have, like the kids, the husband, the whatever person. I have to tell the kidnappers or one of the kidnappers, can you please give me a hug? And the guy look at me like, because I can see the face, the guy look at me through his eyes as he was like surprised. And he said, you know, I cannot do that. And I said, please, I need it. And when he did that, I feel he was not my enemy. I feel like my body, myself needed so much. So I understand very well what you're saying about that you need that touch, the feeling, the to feel the people, the energy is very important.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think I would miss it so much, especially since I, you know, was always like, okay, you know, back off of me. I actually remember one of my aunts, my cousin, he was born in 75. And I guess at the time they had these really weird rules for taking care of babies, you know, like that was the time like babies still slept on their stomach and, you know, like all these weird things they told you to do. So they told her not to hold her son very often, like let him sleep, let him cry, all these things. And she said that because of that, he rocked himself to sleep all the time. And because he needed to be rocked, you know, babies do need to be rocked and held and cuddled. And they advised her not to cuddle him. And she said, even as he started growing as a kid and even onto adulthood, he would rock himself a lot, like to sleep. And that always stuck with me. And I was like, oh my God, how can you not, like, especially with babies, you want to just cuddle and hold your babies. And I think that too. I think of, you know, is that going to be to the point where we are, where we can't, like, where we're so disconnected that we don't really recognize what healthy touch is, or, you know, cuddling and snuggling and all those things that we really need, and that warmth and that comfort? Are we going to lose that? Are we going to not know what that is? And because I really miss it.
That's my mom. She's alone. She's been like 4 weeks alone. And so, mommy, I love you.
Hola.
Te quiero mucho. Te quiero mucho. Oh, she's so cute. Love her blonde hair.
She rocks. So sweet.
So, I feel like with this whole social distancing thing, that does worry me too. Because I am like uber affectionate. Like, I'm probably one of the most affectionate people I've ever met, certainly. And I'm very touchy feely. And it's with all the social distancing, with all the social distancing, it's really, you know, it makes me a little nervous that after this is all done, will people be less inclined to want to be touched and to touch other people? So that's an interesting point you bring up.
Well, you're already seeing millennials are supposedly they're having less sex, which I'm like, come on. If that is the one thing you're going to give up, like, why? Why? I don't get it. And it's already happening. And, you know, people are, you know, less inclined to talk and be in conversation and things like that. So you're already seeing less affection. You're already seeing less communication. The trick is, like, how do people know a healthy way of getting it back? And I have to say, like, once everybody's out of lockdown and we all go back to work, well, those of you who work jobs, regular jobs, when you start going back to work or you're able to just go to brunch with your girlfriends and stuff like that, you are going to be socially awkward. There's no doubt about it. So last summer I had my car break down, and in LA you need a car. You have to have a car. And I didn't go anywhere because I was like, I'll just work from home. I'll work out at home and, you know, I'll just go right at the coffee shop. And it wasn't as strict as it is now, obviously, but, you know, I was pretty much indoors. And then when I got my car back and I started going and talking and just having conversations, and I was so socially awkward. Like, I was like, did I just say something stupid? Or, like, should I, you know, you just have that feeling and you even, like, don't know what to say sometimes. And you're just really weird in conversations. If you are not building that skill, you will lose that skill. It's a muscle you do need to work a lot. And a lot of people aren't working it right now, or they're doing it via keyboard and typing where it's easy to think about your thoughts. You're not just like, blah, you know, saying something that's going to make you regret it later. So it's going to be weird when you go back. And so if you can work on communication skills and having Zoom calls, or doing something to, like, have real conversations, you do it. Please do it, because you're just going to be so tongue-tied and it's going to be so weird. You're going to be, like, even overly excited to see another person that's different from the people you've been quarantined with. And you're just going to be, you know, talking and everybody's going to be that way. I mean, it's going to be crazy and nuts. So, like, work on your social skills, people, because it's going to come back to bite you. And you want to be ahead of the curve when everybody goes back to work, because you might even end up being a mediator in all this craziness. You never know. But yeah, it's going to be very, very awkward for people. So it was awkward for me.
Well, I definitely feel that, you guys, because as a stay-home mom for so long, like, and I know my other stay-home moms out there can feel me, and stay-home dads, like, you don't get the opportunity to socialize with adults. And so when I committed to, like, reemerging out of my, like, stay-home momdom, I had to read a book on how to not be socially awkward. And it was this amazing book by Vanessa Van Edwards called Captivate. And I just absolutely love that book so much, because it changed my life. It was, like, the science behind how to not be like socially awkward. And it helped me so much, because I just felt like,
you're talking, oh, you're so cute. You're talking like baby talk too. And all you have are kids stories.
So I just wouldn't talk to people. Yeah. I wouldn't talk to people, and I didn't realize that that I needed to come. Still to this day, I'm a recovering awkward person. Like, sometimes I just am not sure what to do, right? Like, but she really helped me, because I just wouldn't talk to people, and I didn't realize that they would, like, look at me, and I would just, like, look away, and people would think that I was so rude, but it was because I was so shy. Like, I didn't know kind of how to be. So I think that's amazing advice, because, you know, you're going to come out of this and really just not know how to be anymore in groups of people, or get anxiety when you're around people.
That's true. That's true. Cause you're not used to even just being in a crowd again. Like, I honestly think people are going to be claustrophobic if they try to go to Coachella once it's, you know, reopened again, or when the next show is, right? As if we need more craziness in the desert. But, you know, you'll definitely see a lot of that. Definitely see a lot of that happening. In fact, you know, even in the grocery store, there's people, I wouldn't say it's to the point of harassing, but they're rude to each other, you know, or they're already losing it. We're at the grocery store, and this guy on a skateboard just, like, goes by, and he could probably just be one of the homeless people just harassing people, like always, which is not uncommon in LA. And he just yells at everybody in the line, "You want a hug?" And then the guy in front of me goes, well, he's going to die first. And I just thought, oh my God. It's so dark. And people were like laughing. And then he's trying to make jokes. I'm like, oh my God, this is what it's come to. Like, this is what, this, this is what it is. And it's like, but it, you, you know, that for some people, that was like the only interaction that they've had all day. And mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is happening. This is what we're living in.
Mm-hmm. And we are lucky because Christina is with their kids. Kia is with their kids and her husband. And I'm with my husband and my kids. Imagine the people that are alone. Like mm-hmm. I can't imagine that. Like
my best friend is alone. She's isolated, alone, and we are. We talk all the time. And at like every day, actually she said hi here on the show. She's supporting the show right now.
Hi.
And we talk every day and she's doing well. Like I commend her. I think she's like super, super brave.
Yeah. I had a one manager who I had one manager back in 2015 and she was just a really difficult person to work with. And I tried really hard to be nice to her, tried to build a relationship with her. And she told me that on the weekends, she didn't talk to anybody. She just watched Netflix on her iPad and just rested because she worked so hard all the time. And I just thought, wow, that's like really sad. Like you don't talk to anyone by choice. Like you literally don't say a word to anyone. And yeah, that's what it was for her. And I'm like, okay, is that just the way people
are with all
myself. I don't want to be... Yeah. Yeah.
But you just got serenaded by Christina.
I don't want to be ready to burn the house. You know what, though? Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your kids. Because, like, anything is cool at that time, you know, when they're still little, because when they're teenagers and just like, mom, like, yeah. To be alone at home, perfect time to learn our best friend. Aww.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. See, Estelle always has a great attitude for it.
I know
yeah.
she does. Actually, this morning I caught up with Estelle and Baby, and they were doing a live on Instagram. They had a Yay! Coffee set that I caught a little bit of this morning, and they were having a discussion about the lockdown as well and giving great advice. So if that helped, they have another one, because if they do, everyone should jump on Instagram and check them out.
Yeah. Talk about doing cool shit, Estelle. Damn. Mm-hmm.
She's doing cool shit, right?
I'm proud of you, girl. Go. Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah. Big time. I don't think you see London Realers just sitting around doing nothing.
They better not, because I did not yell at you guys for 8 straight weeks to do nothing. No. You think I get up and do this? No. You have to be doing something. Like, that all that accountability doc does not haunt you? How does that not happen? Like,
maximum accountability.
Yes,
maximum.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you guys, and this is the thing, like we give you accountability for 8 weeks and then we bless and release. You guys are on your own and we hope that we have built you enough discipline and enough passion for what you do to go on and kill it in other ways. And if it's doing Instagram lives with each other still, doing each other still, then that's what it takes. Like just keep doing it. But yes, come on, people. We put you through a rigorous 8 weeks and we answered your messages, yes. Talked you off the ledge so many times.
So many
yes,
times.
You bet. Yes, so many times. You better keep going. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
I know. It's 8 weeks intense. It makes you like wake up, you know? This is real because we are in London real.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm so happy to see like a lot of people in these courses like handling it. Some of them are you know, sometimes people are being affected by what's going on, but I actually say we're getting some of the most driven people we've had in a long time, which is really nice because
yeah,
they want to do something with the time. And it's actually really nice to see people who are like productive and not panicked, take their mind off of it. So,
yeah, that's what I said. As soon as this happened, I was like, I have one of two choices. I'm either going to completely freak out and shut down, or I'm going to find something to do to take my mind off of it and keep myself busy and work my way back into like my routine to keep my routine. And fortunately for me, I was coaching. I had the London Real courses to work with. In addition to my podcast and the other things that I do, And then the deal came together with the Veterans Channel. So, and I'm creating a new show for them. So things started happening to just keep me busy and keep my mind off of it. And as a matter of fact, my own coaching is coming together. Today, I saw the first draft of my own modules. So for the Rose Method. So, I mean, it's like keeping busy, doing things. I'm doing cool shit. And I'm listening to what my coach taught me has brought me here in this moment of this crazy lockdown pandemic, but still pushing forward, still remembering everything that I learned about crushing resistance and facing fear and just going forward anyway. And that's actually the best advice for anyone, even during this time, is to find something to do that you can distract yourself from everything and keep moving forward with.
Yeah. And, you know, podcasting, as you both know, it's a fast moving train. You know, there's always something you need to keep going with. Right. And so is like business and content creation and everything. Like, you need to keep moving. And if you let all this stuff, like the panic, slow you down, you're going to drop the ball when people really need you the most. And you can, yes, Rustam is saying this has been a week for Brian Rose. Yeah, we know. And yeah, he's put in the work, right? He said he put in the work to do it. And this is what I want you guys to know, is that if you show up all the time and you deliver the content all the time, people are going to remember you and they're going to call on you in times of need. And like, even for me and the stuff I've been working on, when that Stories, Alternative Stories contacted me, that was a huge joy for me. I was like, what? You want to share my writing? Like, I can be, I'm really shy about someone sharing my writing because it's so deep and personal to me. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and he just said it was because you're always a positive voice. And he remembered some of my videos. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening when people know you enough for being this voice and always showing up and talking about the same thing and building that audience. They want your strength at that moment. And I was just so overjoyed. And I'm like, oh my God, it's when it counts, it's working, you know, and I'm actually contributing in a positive way instead of the panic, right? So, and yeah, we see. Oh, go ahead, Gloria. Yeah.
I'm also doing a cool shit. You know, being in Speak to Inspire is being something that I wanted for a long, long, long time, but I didn't know how to tell my story. And of course, I've been having some issues when you write down your story, because you remember stuff and you go back to this story, but also it's a healing process. And a lot of people, when they have traumas and problems, and I know somebody that was kidnapped, and I tried to talk to that person to see if she can come to my podcast to talk about it. That person said, no, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear it. And I said, listen, when you talk about the problem, you're going to heal. But also I understand that not too many people being kidnapped, they're willing to talk because they're afraid, not about talking, afraid of the people who kidnap you. Because sometimes you don't know who it was. In my case, I don't know who it was. But the same thing is, you know, I'm not talking about who did this to me. I'm talking about my experience and how I feel and how I can help other people going through traumas, difficult moments, and isolation and kidnap situation that I had is very similar, different. Like my way is a little bit more extreme that happens to me. This one, it could be extreme for other people, but at the same time, you compare and say, well, you know what? This is not really, it's bad, but it could be bad.
Right. It could be more extreme, or it could be
more extreme.
More trauma. Yeah. Yeah.
So oh, Christina, God. do you in how long you be writing?
Oh God, as long as I can remember. But writing professionally or writing or just like creatively or
creatively and then professionally?
Well, creatively, I've just been a writer ever since I was a kid. I always had little notebooks that I would take and write my little stories, and I always saw the stories very clearly in my head. And I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, you don't know what, you know, the craftsmanship is, like what irony and like, you know, setup and setting and all the characterization. You didn't know all that. You just wanted to tell a good story. And I did that all throughout my childhood. I wrote books as young as 13. Like I would, you know, write every day in the summer and finish a novel by the end of the summer on my break at my grandmother's house. And that was what I did. And then I obviously, when I became an adult, had kids, I still kept writing, but I wrote as a copywriter professionally. And then I wrote a little bit, I wrote like corporate video scripts and things like that. And it was never what I wanted to do, but I was like, well, at least I'm writing. And then Savvy Creative is my way to like, okay, now I can take time that I really want to do to put my writing towards other, to put my time for writing that I really love. And that's my project instead of like all these other projects for other people where I'm like giving them notes or where we're producing or doing other things. So it's really nice to be able to have time to like work on my own stuff. So,
and what time of writing do you have so people would know?
Well, they can find my blogs just about anywhere. I share stories on the podcast. Sometimes I put ebooks up. I think I have one collection of short stories somewhere floating on Amazon, but I do it mostly to put the audio up. And then I have a novel that will be out in 2020 now that I have no excuse not to work on it. But my favorite thing to write is romance. I love it because I love telling a good love story. Romance just means, before anyone thinks that I write like smut or 50 Shades of Grey and lots of sex scenes. Okay, yes, I write sex scenes, but you know what? No, it's not what you think. Romance means love story is central to the plot. So it could be historical romance, paranormal romance. There's so many different ways you can take romance. But I love making people fall in love or falling out of love or, you know, talking about love and, you know, love triangles between people and pretty much putting them in these different scenarios that are also telling a larger story. Like, you know, what the theme of the book is, like what it's like to carry pain, what it's like to stick together with a group of strong women, what it's like to go on a journey. You know, you're putting all that into your stories and I really love it. And I'm absolutely in love with the process of writing a book. Like I'm absolutely just like, I love sitting, once I'm in the flow of it and I'm in the world and I can see it come together and you get like these downloads from the universe or whatever it is. I don't know how it happens or I don't think any writer really knows. All we know is that the story just, we see it like a flash, like a vision or just the whole thing just kind of like comes in our mind and then they're like, oh my God, we have to write that down. And that happens. And when you just get lost in the writing, it's like one of the most beautiful things that you can feel. And I absolutely love it. Now it's torture some days when you're just staring at that blank page and you're like, what the hell is this character going to do or say, or where are we at? What scene are we in? And you're just like wanting to scream, but it's once you're in it, you actually can't wait to make hell for your characters. You know, you actually feel, sometimes you get so lost in the story that your characters even feel like they're real people. And you have to kind of let them tell the story sometimes. And you, when it's done and you write the end, it's like, it's such an emotional moment. It's just one of those, that's why you see a lot of writers maybe share the end page on Instagram, but it is an amazing moment because you actually finished, you made it through the 100-page wall, you made it through, or a second act wall, or you made it through all these corners to wrap up the story and let the characters finish whatever ending point that needed to be finished. And it's just, it's a wonderful feeling. I've done it 8 times in my life, but none of them have ever been published. They've just been sitting on my computer and I've been spending the past few years working them out, editing them and trying to get them out. And yeah, I don't know what the world is going to say with them. I'm probably sure they'll be criticized up and down, but you know what? If you can really just absolutely fall in love with these characters on their journey in 250 pages and just feel like, you know, they're real and it's part of the life and that you are actually a part of them, like you actually can relate to them, then I've done my job. So, and that makes
sense. So the characters that you do, let's talk about men.
Writing from a man's voice. Yeah, it's hard.
What is the main character that you create that you love?
I created a, oh God, there's so many. I would say it's usually the villain character because he can't be, I had this one character who was just, he was based off this crazy customer that I had when I was working at a bar in LAX, and he was just so strange, and he said like the weirdest things, and I just thought, I can't let this go. Like, I have to. I only met the guy for 2 hours, but I wrote like he was one of the main villains in my book, and he just said the most profoundly grotesque, just weird things, but they were kind of true. It was like this really dark kind of wisdom. And I just thought, I just can't let this go. And I created a whole scenario where he lived on like a penthouse in LA, and he was, you know, luring in these young girls and tricking them into this underground world of LA, which a lot of people don't really see the different like world of LA that I really know. You think of, oh, Beverly Hills and Hollywood. I'm like, that's not what you think. But the rest of the city doesn't look that way. And so that was the character, and he would do it in a really different way. And it was really hard. His character was such a challenge for me because people liked him. They were entertained by him, but it was really hard to make it believable. And he can't just be an obviously bad villain. Like, the villain has to have hero qualities. Like, you have to remember the craft of building a good villain. And I think I made him too obviously bad, but it's just because this guy was just so creepy. Like, I'm telling, if you ladies had met him, you would have been like, oh my God, like your skin would crawl. And he was very hypnotizing. Like, he would softly like start touching my fingernail and then start working at my hand. And I wouldn't even notice it. And then I would just kind of be hypnotized by his eyes. Like, I would just lean in closer and talk to him. And then I even had to slap myself. Like, what am I doing? Why am I letting this guy try to sweet talk me? But it was just so, I'd never seen anybody like it. I remember his pale blue eyes. I remember he was British. He had this like really strong English accent. And I never forgot how disturbing it was. And it was really hard to build that character. And that character is still a challenge. I think every editor that's gone through that manuscript is like, what the fuck is this guy? But I never forgot it. And I feel like when you get stuff like that, you just can't let it go. Like, you have to really run with it. And I couldn't get it out of my head. And I hope other people get that in their head too. Yeah.
Hey, Laura. Yeah. Our very
first
topics ever. Shout out, girl. Hi, sweet.
Hi. Hey, mama.
Thank you for your support. Christina, I have a question for you. So I know it's coming towards the end of our hour, which is crazy because it feels like we just started. But I happen to know that you have a video diary. Yeah. And you've been doing this during the quarantine time that we're all in. And I saw some of your videos yesterday, some of the titles, and my favorite was Rosé and Donuts. But tell us, like, okay, so you're doing this video diary, and why do you do it?
So I learned it from a friend that I met over the holiday season, and he had done it for years. And it was like a way for him to cope and communicate better and to talk to his future self. And I just thought it was really interesting. And so on Christmas Day, I started it. And it was a really emotional day for me. And I remember just sitting in the car because I just said goodbye to a friend. And I was sitting in the car and I just felt like singing. And I just turned on the camera and talked to it and sang and talked some more. And I was like, you know what, this kind of feels good. And then I actually felt bold afterwards. And I did a singing vlog right in the street on Venice Boulevard. And I was like, yeah. And I posted it on Instagram. And I just felt like it. I don't know why. And I said, this actually feels really good. And I kept doing it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make these like really funny titles. I just kind of was going to like kind of mark these chapters in my life. So now I've done 59 of them since Christmas Day. And when the quarantine happened, I remember one of the days where I bought way too many groceries, and I knew I was kind of in the panic. Michael, my son, was getting sent home from college, and I'm just thinking, oh my God. And I talked myself out of my panic, and I talked myself through like pros and cons. And I really realized that, oh my God, everyone else is going to go nuts around me. And I know that, you know, my teams are leaning on us, you know, and in a weird way, Brian leans on us a lot too. Like, when he's going through a lot right now too, in a good way, I guess it's kind of like a high level problem, as he calls it, but he leans on us too. And a lot of people are looking to us for answers. And I'm like, I don't have any answers, but this helps me in a way, like detached, stay grounded, stay aligned, and be ready to step up and do the leadership that I need to do and do the, you know, be the mom I need to be. Because I have to empty the negative thoughts out of my head. I have to empty the anxiety. I have to get through it. And the video journaling is so therapeutic to do. And some days, you know, like I'm drinking rosé and eating donuts and I'm just like, you know what, this fucking, you know, having some attitude with it. And just like, every, the world can go to hell. I don't care. I have my rosé. And let me, this is my, I kid you not. I that was probably like my third or fourth donut that I had on that video. Like I ate like three donuts on that video. It was just one of those days, you know? And I've done ones where I'm like in a towel getting ready and we were about to do the live show on at the podcast pit and I'm in my towel getting ready and I'm trying to like calm down. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Trying to do my makeup on the camera. I've talked about like when I had this really bad fallout with my neighbor and I talked myself through like, you know, be strong, hold your boundaries, do this, you know, do that. And I actually would end the video like, you're strong. You can do this, with something positive, some good self-talk, some self-belief, but something that was like, you're going to move in the right direction or the right, what felt right now, right in the moment. And doing that, I actually, like I said, I was more focused. I felt stronger. And I really recommend it. If you are going through something, it can be on your phone, it can be on your computer, but just talk to the damn camera and get your thoughts out. It will clear your head and you actually will feel like you're not alone, which is really nice. Because God, everybody's, if you live with people or like a partner, everybody's up in your face and you know, you don't have privacy. Like this is a good time to actually, to give time to yourself is just by making these journals. And sometimes I talk for 10 minutes. Sometimes I talk for 3 minutes, you know, and sometimes I dance in them. I do all kinds of crazy stuff in them. And who cares? Nobody's going to see them but me, or maybe I'll put one up one day, but I don't know. But I really, I'm a goofy person. You guys know me. You guys know I make really bad jokes in the calls and stuff like that. And I love to, you know, I love to make the students laugh. So I need a space for that because I don't have, you know, my girlfriends at lunch to do that. I don't have, you know, running around on the beach to making silly videos or doing all these other crazy things we used to do. So I have to let it out somewhere. If I don't let out the silliness, oh my God, I think I would explode. But yeah, it's an amazing outlet. So I highly recommend it if you are going losing your mind in quarantine right now.
Girls, we have 3 minutes left.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Well, I guess this is going to be a slightly long one because I have one more question for Christina. And actually, it's not from me. I noticed that it came from Rustam.
Oh.
Did you see his last question that he commented?
Oh, the 40 before 40.
Yes.
So, okay. So let's see, 1 through 10. The podcast pit was probably one of the best because that was the first one that was probably the best night in 2020 that we had. And that was doing a live show in front of a live audience. And they were kind of already a little drunk at the bar and, you know, downtown LA. But it was having a fan, meeting a fan who found a babysitter, drove to downtown LA, parked the car, whatever, to come and meet us. That was amazing. And having Mel, my good friend, you know, doing her, featuring her, all the love that we had and meeting the podcast community. It took 50 episodes to get to that point. And that was amazing. That had to be probably the best euphoric thing. The most challenging thing, I think, is going to be I'm doing a series featuring 40 women in their 40s. And I want this to be something that helps women be more courageous. Because I don't, you know, in this time, we are definitely not going to feel courageous at all. We are being, you know, the sky is falling around us to make us panic, and it's going to be hard to be courageous. So I feel like now more than ever, it's time to be way, way more out of the comfort zone and courageous. So that's why I think it's one of the best things. Hello.
Thank you.
Those were probably the biggest things so far that I've done. But my 40 for 40 bucket list is not stopping. I will tell you that once we can travel again, I am off doing more crazy stuff. But I think the best thing will be featuring other women and, finding the new challenge from there. But yeah, we had a bunch of ridiculous things that we were going to do. But hey, we're still doing it. I'm still going to find a way to do it. The pinup picks too that Kia gave me for my birthday. You will be seeing some. That is and also like bikini pictures. That's actually really frightening, you know. But I'm still going to do it. But nothing I think was as rewarding as probably the podcast pit and meeting the fans. That was one of the most amazing nights of.
Christina, how many donuts you gonna eat until we?
I could eat an entire. I love donuts. Okay, people.
Me too.
I love chocolate. I love desserts and apparently rosé. I love a lot of rosé.
Yeah, love my Zoom and wine dates with Christina. So if you're not having them, you gotta start having them. Yeah. Also, on your 40th birthday, what you have to do is a thirst trap photo and post it on Instagram. So when you get into your bikini, you have to do Thirst Trap Thursday and do your sexy shot and post it on Instagram when you turn 40.
Oh, I will. I will. I even think like, I know it's too, nothing. Well, yeah. I'm going to have to lay off the donuts if I'm going to do that, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've seen people do like really tasteful nude pictures. And I would like something, I don't know if I'm that ballsy yet, but, or, you know, something tasteful like that. But I'm like, you know what? I just want to, I think like being comfortable in your body is something that like, I've just had enough of it. I've just had enough of like, you know, just too much. And I think that I'm actually stronger than I've been in a long time because of all the dancing and doing handstands in my, in my living room. And I have a lot of energy. And I think that I'm glowing now more than ever. And I feel like it's been the past few years because I've actually focused on what I've wanted to do. And, you know, if you got the glow, you know, you gotta flaunt it. I'm sorry. Come on. Flaunt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're glowing, you can't hide it. You can't hide it.
No. You see
virtually impossible. Yeah. It is impossible to hide it. Yeah. So I absolutely like refuse.
Yeah, in 40s, you have it once in your lifetime.
And 40 is the new 20. And I will tell you this. I will say that no one saw these pictures. And I posted a lot of somewhat risque pictures for me from that pinup shoot that I did. But I actually did a topless shoot there, too. Ooh. And those pictures I did not post. But I did something scandalous for me, but it was so like rewarding to just have that experience of being that open and, you know, in love with my own self for that took me so many years of my life to get there. So it was an amazing experience. And I think everybody, men and women, should have a sexy photo shoot and feel good about yourself. Right.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I've been looking forward to it for a long time. If this stupid quarantine like came at the wrong time, because I was like, once you gave it, I was like, oh my god, I need to go make an appointment, and I didn't, and then of course quarantine happened. But I think it's also because you have to like really arch your back and stick your booty out and like to make your
girl, it was work.
Yeah like that. Yeah, it definitely is. So, you know, I put in the practice of booty popping every day in my burlesque classes. Yeah, when you guys don't see dance videos up, you know, when you see a dance video go up, you know that quarantine is officially over for me.
I'm 2 years for 50, so I'm going to be 48 in July. So in my 50, I'm going to make a sexy ass picture, like, you know, 50 and rocking.
Yeah. Those 50s. I mean, look at J-Lo.
Shoot. I know. I want to be J-Lo at 50. I was like, I don't care what she does. I don't know what she does, but I need to be swinging on a pole in 50. And that's another thing that will be. That will be like 40 or 40 less. Yeah. I've already done aerial classes and I've already done gymnastics, but I'm ready to do, I've already done pole dancing, but I want to do like actually video it and show it and stuff like that. So I can't wait. So
I want to do that one too.
I want to belly dance. That's what I want to do. Yeah,
they're all good. You know, dancing is going to be on my list. Come on. Multiple dancing always is going to be on my list.
Always.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. So yeah, more adventures. And I just want women out there to be courageous and do and not wait anymore. Like you'll spend so much time waiting and then things will be gone. And, you know, you'll think
like, you're not having the self-confidence, right? Like I didn't.
Well, you know, honestly, you're never going to ever have, like, confidence is just something you never have. It's like losing weight. Like, once you get to that goal, you have to keep going, right? You have to maintain it. I always feel like I have to work at confidence every day, because there are London Real people, you guys will laugh at this, but some days, like when I first started taking over as lead instructor, I was terrified, like literally terrified. I could not sleep the night before a Sunday workshop call. I would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. Not here, come on. I would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and I could not. I was just so terrified of being in front of the students because I knew they smelled fear, you know? Yeah. And I had a lot of people at the time that were rooting for me to fail because everyone wanted to be the lead instructor. And I was like, as if it's like a glamorous position, right? And I was like, do you know how much work this is? And I was terrified out of my mind. I can't look students in the eye and say, lean into the fear if I'm not willing to do it myself. And now I'm like, yeah, come on, it's Sunday, let's rock and roll. Now it's no big deal, but it was terrifying for a long, long time. And, you know, now it's one of the greatest joys because I have you two ladies who are just rocking it, and Estelle doing cool shit, and Rustam and everybody. Like, that makes me so proud that you guys are still going strong. So.
Well, I'm a product of YouTube.
The third generation.
Wow, it's just an amazing feeling to have like both of you here, and just so important to me, the two of you. So this has been a really incredible show for me. And is it that time that we have to wrap it up?
Yeah, 1 hour and 6 minutes.
Oh, one of our longest episodes yet. So oh, wow. I will say, Christina, it has been such a pleasure to have you here with us. Just like an absolute dream come true for me. And tell everyone, if you wouldn't mind, where they can find you.
You can follow me at Instagram at Savvy Creative Christina. I have a podcast on iTunes, and it's also called The Savvy Creative. The Savvy Creative Academy is now open if you are looking to step up your media game, because yes, I can. If you want to be a guest on a podcast, if you want to step up your video game, or if you just need help with your storytelling because something is not clear, I'm the person you want to talk to. So definitely you can check that out. And read the stories, read the blog, and you can always find me as well. There's always a London Reeler around the world that has probably been through the grueling 8 weeks and can tell you about their experience as well. And you know, London Reelers out there, you know that I love you so much. We're always cheering for your success. And the fact that all of you can go on and be super successful, that makes me so happy. I hope that you guys are always crushing it every day, and that you build something even bigger and better than anything that we've done. And if you can do that and go on and be successful, then we know we've done our job, and we've brought you, if you see the possibilities ahead of you and you're excited about it every morning, then you're winning. And I hope that you go forward and win every day. I love you all.
Christine, I have to say thank you so much to be here. I love to have you, and I'm very grateful to be in London Real and with you two, my two coaches. And I learn a lot from you, and I'm continuing learning, and I'm really honored to be part of you too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Christina, we're going to say goodbye to you for now, but wait for us in the green room. And as soon as we sign off, we'll meet you there for after the show chat.
Oh, after party. I love it.
Yeah. No, bye. No. Go say bye. A donut.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that woman, one of my favorites. So what do you think, Gloria?
I love this episode. It was wonderful, especially to have her. And you know that she's very busy, so to have her here is like, we are blessed. We are.
Yes. We are highly honored to have her. share some of her time because she is constantly busy with a million things to do. Yeah. So it was a gift for real. So with that, I guess we're going to wrap it up, Mama.
Yeah.
And and this was one of my favorite episodes. Your mom passed by, a bunch of our friends showed some love. We appreciate you. If you want to reach Christina about her academy, you can also send us a message here to Hot Topics and we will connect you with her, of course. And as always, like and share this episode. If you don't have time to watch the replay, you can listen to it at Hot Topics, the podcast on iTunes and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. And follow us on Instagram at Hot Topics, the podcast. And you can follow me if you want inspirational messages and to find out where I'm at on my healing journey at Kiativity on Instagram and at the Female Veterans Podcast if you want to know more about what I'm doing with that. So what about you, Gloria? Where can people find you?
Well, my name is Gloria Goldberg again. You guys can find me in iTunes, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, like Gloria Goldberg. And my podcast is about depression, anxiety, PTSD, and a lot of emotional stuff that will help you to grow. And that's it. And I want to say to my mom, I love you, mommy. Thank you to be here. And I know you are alone, but I'm here with you.
Always. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I love you too, mommy. So, so with that, we're going to say we love you guys. Like, share, and see you next week.
Thank you to be here. Thank you. Bye-bye.